Well, here goes part three, and perhaps the conclusion of that look into the prayer, a prayer of Jesus Christ, of this most human of humans, Peter the Apostle, wherein Jesus prayed that his faith fail not. In the time of Jesus Christ, the Greek language dominated. And Jesus reached into this language and he pulled this word, pistis, which is the noun, out of that language that could be understood by most, and he made it his. And he prayed that Peter's pistis would not fail. Now, this is review for some, but of late, there have been many new listeners at the God School. Now, in this verse, the King James and the English translators properly translate the word. They translate it faith. Oftentimes when translating the verb form of pistis, which in the Greek is pisteo, or a derivative thereof with its prefixes and or suffixes in the Greek language, when the verb is translated, it's translated to believe or believing. The proper understanding and context of what the meaning of that word that Jesus used, pistis or pisteo, is an action based upon a belief, and it is sustained by confidence. And in Romans 10, it says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, this is the third time that we're using Luke 22:32 as a basis for the teaching. And I'm hoping to effectively communicate What? The good news of the gospel is. Christianity, ladies and gentlemen, is not a religion. I know traditions of men over these 2,000 years has caused many to believe that it is a religion. But I protest, because Christianity is not a series of ceremonies, of rites, of do this and don't do that as other religions of the world profess. Christianity speaks of a new life, of a new creation. It speaks of eternal life. And when Christianity is put in the context of somehow or other going to work on this flesh, that somehow it might be improved, its message falls short of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because of that gospel, it speaks of a righteousness of God, which is so far beyond human effort, that to reduce God's eternal plan for those He has chosen, for those He has by grace given faith to, it means we have somehow or other reduced God's performance down to what we as men can see. Paul's testimony in 2 Corinthians says, of men and women of faith, that we look not on the things that are seen, but on the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen, they are eternal. Look, God starts out telling us a story about Adam and Eve. Wherein they trusted not God's word, but trusted the adversary. And we are the progeny of Adam and Eve and find ourselves in their, in the same condition as them. The story goes on to say that God removed them from Eden, which means the heart of God. He removed them from his presence. He removed them for I'm trying by analogy to keep the same idea. This is not in the word of God, but it, he removed them for a pistis, for not trusting him. Trust is a better English translation than believe for translating that Greek word pisteo. The hesitation in my voice is, or in my message is, this is a hard message. And not only the world, but most of the Christian church, by their traditions, have rejected this message, of which Paul says, in Romans 1, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it, what? The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. For therein is a righteousness of God revealed. How is it revealed? It's revealed. It is uncovered. It is put on display. What the power of God unto salvation, a righteousness beyond any human performance, a righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. From the Greek is ek pistios, eis pisten. I'm not a Greek expert, But the subject is so important. I have studied sufficient that I might declare the fuller meaning than what you'd get from any translation in English that I've been exposed to, than any translation might give the full meaning. You can hear, you know, King James says, a righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. I gave you the Greek, ek, out from, pistios, eis, piston. You can hear with your own ears. There's a different form of the word here being translated faith from faith to faith. Pistios. It is the genitive form of the word pisteos, and the genitive form means that which is generated, and it is God in his word declares to every man a measure of faith is given. What's being declared by Paul here in the book of Romans is that when we generate faith, that this righteousness of God, which is revealed, that when faith is generated, that piston, faith generated to piston, it's in the accusative form. It means excuse me, that which is being done on something. And that which is being done on something is being done by God. Paul will go on in this wonderful Romans letter to speak in the third chapter about that righteousness of God being revealed, when he says in the 21st verse of the third chapter, but now, and the proper translation is as in the first chapter, a righteousness. The law was an expression of God's righteousness. But now that the gospel has come, another expression of the righteousness of God is being revealed, as it says here, let's just read it. But now, a righteousness of God without the law is manifested. It's made apparent. God's doing something other than trying to, through the law, make the flesh conform to his righteousness, which he never did. The law was given to show man that because of his condition, that is, his inability to equal that righteousness of God expressed in the law, no man could do it. God promised In Leviticus 18, that, you know, to the man who could perform the law perfectly, he would live eternally, but all had died. God had removed himself from the presence of man. He had removed his presence from man. But Jesus came, bringing us good news. And now, rather than fleshly performance measuring up to the righteousness of God, which it never could do, God says he makes available his own righteousness to men and women of faith. It says, but now a righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. The New Testament was concealed in the old. The old is revealed in the new. The law and the prophets spoke about this, and it's now made manifest in the New Testament. It says, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all the ones faithing. Paul says in Galatians, second chapter, 16th verse, he reduces it down and he says, knowing that a man is not, and I'm going to give you the proper understanding, which I believe the King James and a myriad of other translators come short of communicating what the Greek is telling us, what the gospel is telling us. Paul says, knowing that a man is not righteousified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have faithed in Jesus Christ, that we might be righteousified by the faith of Christ. That's that piston, that's that other thing that God adds to our faith, that work of God. He gave us a measure of faith. When we act in faith, he adds the faith of that we might be righteousified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by, he repeats himself, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be righteousified. We encounter it again. In another place, in the third chapter of Philippians, Paul speaking of achievements in the flesh, he says, yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. God's school is about communicating knowledge of God. He goes on to say, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, but do count them as dung. For those of you who are not familiar with that word, it means shit. I count them as shit. That I may win Christ. Here's the key verse. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Jesus prayed for Peter. That prayer he is praying today, not only for Peter, but for each and every other child whom before the foundations of the world he chose in Christ, that their faith fail not. When we, and to further elaborate on faith, on pisteo, in the context of Jesus choosing that word out of the language of the day and making it his, further understanding is faith is acting on the promises of God on the promises of God and the result is eternal life. This walk of faith, this true Christian life, has eternity in focus. And somehow it has been perverted by the traditions which make void the word of God by the traditions of men. It has been perverted into somehow or other being manifested, that is seen in this life, and it is totally opposite. Of the life of Paul and the other apostles in terms of having a wonderful life down here. Oh, look at Brother Stephen. And I'm just choosing a name. Look how God has blessed him with great riches and great health. And look at his wisdom. Don't be fooled by the God of this world. He offered all those things to Jesus, and Jesus never argued with him that he didn't have the power and ability to give it to him. But he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. For faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And we look not on the things that are seen, because they're temporal. Jesus did not pray that Peter might never sin again. He knew he would. He predicts it the next sentence, wherein he denied his Lord. But he prayed that his faith fail not. Why? Because of the gospel, the power of God unto salvation, God declaring that he chose before the foundation of the world some out of whom he did, and others whom he did not choose, to be in Christ. And Paul, in this Philippian letter, 3rd chapter, 9th verse, says, and be found in him. The operation of the gospel. For faith. A righteousness of God is given to us for faith. God puts us in Christ. One commentator has it, and be found in him. That is, united to him by a living faith. The idea is that when the investigations of the great day should take place in regard to the ground of salvation, it might be found that he, Paul, that we all, was united to the Redeemer and dependent solely upon his merits, that is, the merits of Jesus Christ, that is, the faith of Jesus Christ for salvation. He goes on to say, not having mine own righteousness, that is, not relying on that for my salvation. This was now the great aim of Paul, that it might be found at last that he was not trusting in his own merits, but to those of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not even trusting. Although this, he was living by faith, not even trusting in his own faith, but the faith of Jesus Christ. Christ Jesus. Is faithful, like his Father. An understanding, a gestalt of so much of Scripture, though it cannot be specifically pointed to one verse here or one verse there, talks about in the councils of heaven before the foundations of the world, God having a plan for creation with the intention of making man in his own image, which included freedom. Because without freedom, there can be no trust. And God valued trust as revealed throughout this whole book, he valued trust he put a great value on trust. But without freedom, there can be no trust. There can be no love. But in his plan, there was the understanding that this freedom might be misused. And in the councils of heaven, Jesus Christ, who was with God from the very beginning, who was, the scripture declares, the agent of creation, stepped forward with a solution in the event that man misused that freedom. And would go his own way rather than God's. And Jesus entered into a covenant with God, into an agreement with God, that should man fail, that he would step in. And pay that price necessary for God to be present with his people again. Not that we might be in God's presence, but that he might be present with us. Jesus agreed to pay that price. And as the scripture unfolds, we see Jesus and his faithfulness, wherein he did pay that price. And we see the faithfulness of God the Father, who said, we understand in the Philippian letter, that if he did this, that he would raise him from the dead. Which God did. We see Jesus' faithfulness. We see God, our Father's faithfulness. And be found in him. But that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. In the Gospel of Mark, Jesus says, when I return, shall I find faith? Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, in Christ, have the understanding that God is interested in faith and not our short-fallen performance. Try as we might to work on this flesh, that somehow other or other it might be more pleasing to God. The scripture answers, without faith it is impossible to please God. That's why Paul says in Romans, in Galatians, in Hebrews, the righteous by faith shall live. And he's quoting that Old Testament prophet, Habakkuk. Of which that second chapter, the fourth verse, I'm getting to it. Please stay with me. Please stay with me. King James translation says, the just shall live by his faith. Dr. Scott, for whom I am eternally grateful to God, who beat this into my head, for decades. Who, through great learning and intelligence, and by the Spirit of God, probably gave a translation of which I find no equal anywhere of this verse when he translated it out of the Hebrew, the righteous of me ones, God speaking, our righteousness is of God. By the amen of him, shall live. You say, amen. Oh, I don't want to go there today. I'll come to it another time. But it says, the righteous of me ones, that is, the righteousness God gives to us by the faith of him, that is, the faith of Jesus, shall live. That is that piston which is spoken of in Romans 1:17, faith to piston, generated faith, that which we do. God adds the faith of Jesus Christ. And in that he gives us his righteousness. How wonderful that God, through his word, let us know what he's praying, and he's praying that our faith fail not. For when he returns, and boy, it looks like he's coming soon, he says, will I find faith? And I have every confidence because of his faithfulness that Jesus' prayer shall not shall will be made manifest. He that has begun a good work in you, he that has gifted you faith, shall bring it to completion all the way to his faith. That is, he had no doubt in God. That's where we're headed, folks, to a state of no doubt, even to a state wherein we shall have a righteousness of God and not our own, and this all cafe. And that's the God School for today.